I'm Lindsay.
I'm Austin.
And I'm Joe from PopX Cast,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in
3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth 2's favorite newspaper, the Starling Tribune. Your eyes do not deceive you. I'm Chris. I'm filling in for our chief editor, SP, who is out on assignment. So I'm your interim or acting chief editor. But don't worry, we've got some other reporters tonight on episode 182 of the Starling Tribune, starting with Michelle.
I remember the last time you got in bed with one of the Bertinellis. It did not work out well.
And we have a special guest, Neil.
I prefer precision design over chaos.
So this podcast is recorded live on Sunday, January 21st, 2018, over on Geeks.live, the official streaming home of the Gunna Geek Network. Remember, our newspaper is full of spoilers, facts, and speculations about Arrow and the rest of the DC TV, movie, and comic universe.
Today we'll be discussing Arrow, as well as news, interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the last week that could impact future episodes of Arrow, as well as The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Vixen, and Constantine.
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. After the show, you can check out our content at GunnaGeek.com, where you can also find other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles.
Thanks, guys. Hey, Michelle, why don't you go ahead and break down this current episode of Arrow for us?
Sure, this episode is called Divided. It's Season 6, Episode 10. It aired Thursday, January 18th, 2018. Directed by one of our favorites, James Bamford. The former stunt coordinator has directed 8 episodes of Arrow and 1 Supergirl. Writers have been Skolowski, who's done 20 Arrow and 2 Flash, and Emilia Ortega-Aldrich, who's done 11 episodes of Arrow. And an interesting fact, this is their third team-up. They also did Vigilante and A Matter of Trust.
Very interesting. So it's a team that has worked together before, which you would think would lead to some good chemistry and a good working relationship. But before we dive into the episode itself, I have to do what SP always wants to do each week. He loves to talk numbers, and since I'm the acting chief editor while he's out on assignment, let's talk ratings numbers for this week of the CW superhero TV shows. Coming in Monday night, episode 10, season 4 of Supergirl brought in a live viewer rating of 2.17. It's pretty solid. On Tuesday, episode 10, season 4 of Flash, we had 2.51 million live viewers. We don't have any of our DVR numbers yet. On Tuesday night also, we did not have Legends of Tomorrow coming back. We talked about on a previous episode how Legends and Supergirl would be flip-flopping schedule slots. So we had the series premiere of Black Lightning premiering Tuesday after The Flash, bringing in a rating of 2.31 with the title The Resurrection. Now, this is the first episode of Black Lightning, so we can't guarantee that the ratings will stay that high, but it's a good promising indicator for a show starting out. And then rounding out the pack on Thursday, season 6, episode 10 of Arrow, Divided, which we're talking about tonight, coming in with a 1.42. Ooh. Ooh.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one hurts. And we did forget to mention, for the comparison of Black Lightning to Legends, where it took its time slot, Black Lightning brought in the 2.31, like I said. Legends' average ratings this season have been 1.67, so it'll be interesting to see how Black Lightning develops and whether it stays over that mark that Legends Tomorrow had in the first half of the season. I haven't watched Black Lightning yet, so I don't know how good it is. Did you guys watch?
Oh, I was going to say, what'd you think? But I really enjoyed it. Michelle, did you see it?
Yeah, I liked it. It's really good.
Yeah.
I recommend it.
Yeah, Chris, get on that.
Before we move into the episode, is it worthy of Legends of Tomorrow's time slot then?
Yes.
Ooh, strong words.
Yeah. Did you catch Luke Cage on Netflix?
I have watched the first three or four episodes of Luke Cage. I'm so behind on all my superhero shows. The only ones I'm caught up on are the ones I have to talk about on podcast form.
Michelle, did you get a real Luke Cage vibe out of it, but with a kind of a CW feel?
Yes. It's not afraid to go there. Within the first 5 minutes, it really tackled some issues head on. I mean, there's a reason why Luke Cage wears a hoodie, and it's important for Luke Cage to wear a hoodie. And the fact that the lead character in Black Lightning was wearing the suit and everything and getting pulled over and that whole sequence, there's a reason why that needed to happen. So yeah, there's a good vibe, and oh, it's so good.
Yeah, it hits really hard, Chris. Do yourself a favor.
Well, guys, you have me convinced. I will go and check it out on the CW app sometime in the next couple weeks before it drops off there. But that's enough on Black Lightning. We are an Arrow podcast predominantly focused on that, so I think it's only right that we jump in and talk about this episode. So, Michelle, why don't you kick us off?
Yes, we like to start with the overall theme. We like to take the title and dive into it and see if there's multiple layers. And, well, this is called Divided, and it's not about helping William with his homework. It's actually about the team being split up because of what happened back in the last episode. The recruits were like, "You spied on us." And OTA is like, "Look, we had a traitor." And they're like, "Nah." And so they're still a little whiny about everything. So the team is still split up. Even though the team is split up, we still had some good fights. I mean, this is a Bam Bam episode, and it did not disappoint. So, Neil, so happy to have you back for this episode. Why don't you go ahead and talk about the fights?
Well, the first fight was the warehouse scene, and this is pretty, let's call it, iconic Arrow. It's Ollie doing what Ollie does best, shooting people in the shoulders with his arrow at close range and at far range, using awesome trick arrows to take Black Siren out of it, pinning her to the wall, choking her. I think it was awesome. He shot T-spheres like the tennis balls, the scenes that we've always seen in the Arrow Cave or the Quiver, whatever we want to call it, reminiscent to what we saw a bit earlier in the season with Diggle with the crossbow shooting the tennis balls. There's really nice parallels drawn there. And he learns that they found that Caden has brought everybody together, all the bad guys, the Injustice League or whatever we're going to call it. Yeah, and then shooting the arrow to get out of there too. It was an iconic fight scene. It was tight. I think it flows with the whole theme of back to basics with this season of Arrow, getting away from some of the stuff that maybe took us off track in the prior couple of seasons.
Yes, him finding out the low-rent Injustice League has completely formed. For those of you who were wondering who that sixth member is, we find out his name is Mr. Shrek. I have no idea who that is. Like, I have no comic book reference to that person. To me, he's just some random dude.
Wasn't Maxwell Shrek the bad guy in Batman Returns, played by Christopher Walken?
That's a deep cut.
I don't think that's what they're going for there, but it's the only thing I could think of that seemed to fit.
I mean, they did do another bat reference. You know, earlier this season, we had Oliver mention Bruce Wayne, and tonight, Bertinelli was like, "Hey, I need to get a hold of you. You need to have a signal with an arrow on it."
That was actually what I had pulled aside to be my quote this week. It was maybe a spotlight in the sky with a big silhouette of an arrow.
Oh, is that it? We're bringing back the bat checklist?
Well, I mean, that's really the only thing on the bat checklist this week, though, I think.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
It was interesting. I liked it. You know, Oliver against the bad guys. No recruits, nobody, just him. Like in the beginning, it was nice.
And coming to a realization, I can't do this on my own anymore like it used to be when he's facing, what, 5, 6 bad guys teamed up or something like that? Yeah, one man, unless you're Bruce Wayne, you're not doing it by yourself.
Oh, and as much as I would love to see Batman swoop in and just say, "This is how it's done," not sure that's ever going to happen in this show.
I could guarantee you there's not enough money in the world to make that happen on this show.
Of course, it's not like Oliver doesn't have any other superhero friends at all. I mean, I'm sure they have their own little Google Hangouts, but for some reason, he just decides not to call any of his friends.
Well, Barry's in prison, and I don't know where Wally is, but well, it's Ollie. Ollie thinks he can do it by himself. That headstrong Oliver Queen that we've seen for 5+ seasons at this point, he's pretty sure he can deal with this. He survived the Bratva, he survived Lian Yu, he can survive this, but in this case, maybe not.
Yeah, things aren't looking good for him. Especially as we start rounding out the episode, things start to look real bad for him, don't they?
Yes, because then we had the dock scene. And it seems as though Oliver had a plan. There were charges. They set it up because they finally figured out that they were bugged. We had discussed on this podcast, like, why haven't you, after everything you guys have been through, like, do you not routinely scan for bugs? I mean, you keep getting broken into. You've accepted this. Is there not like any sort of routine? It's taken you 10 episodes to figure out you've been bugged. But they finally find out they've been bugged and they use it to their advantage to set up this plan. And so basically, they do a death stroke maneuver. Like in season 2, when Oliver says to Felicity, you know, oh, I think I'm the one that loves you and blah, blah, blah. And Deathstroke is like, oh, that's the thing. And so that's what they do here. They say some stuff to make Caden James believe certain things. But the plan doesn't go correct because it's an Oliver solo plan. And Neil, it looks like you really enjoyed this fight at the dock. So why don't you go into more detail for us?
Sure. And this is something that you hinted at when you're going through the production crew, Michelle, that, you know, originally James Bam Bam Bamford started off as the fight director and choreographer for Arrow and a couple of the other CW shows. And with his transition into directing behind the camera, what we tend to see with his episodes is a real focus on the hand-to-hand, the fighting styles, and the fight choreography. And sometimes it's been broader, but I think the fight at the docks with the charges set and the multiple different kinds of bad guys, the Bratva, the other gang lords, Caden James, Black Siren, and then Vigilante, you really got to see Ollie flex in a lot of different ways. And this was the first time in a long time that I can actually remember sitting back with the fight and going, the shaky cam is not only appropriate, but it's following the action to give you that sense of how chaotic this must be from Ollie's perspective. Everything's going off. The Bertinelli's men's are firing in one direction. I think it was fantastic. Now, was it totally believable at times? No, you know, he's shooting arrows and dodging bullets. It's too much. It's too much even for Ollie at the end, no matter how good he is.
Well, I think one of the takeaways we get from this doc scene is that we continue to realize that secret identities are a joke in the Arrow universe when he basically gets outed as Oliver Queen to everyone in that scene. You're like, okay, now everyone knows that the mayor is actually the Green Arrow, even though technically Diggle's the Green Arrow. He's just subbing for him. Oh, boy. What kind of crap storm is going to get stirred up by that one? Why don't one of the bad guys just anonymously tip off the FBI and, oh, he's out of play?
Chris, I think you've brought up a really important point. There are two things that are constants in this universe. One is secret identities aren't very secret, but Michelle, you nailed the other one, that the infiltration of people's secret superhero bases is an ongoing recurrence. And you mentioned the Google Hangout for Ollie and the other superheroes. I'm guessing, now just a hypothesis here, totally throwing this out there, that Ollie and Felicity called Star Labs and they said, guys, how many break-ins is appropriate? Like, what's your threshold for tolerance? And they said, it's probably 8 or 9 a season based on Star Labs. And Ollie and Felicity were like, well, come on, we've only been broken into twice this season. We're way below 8. We don't have to do a darn thing. We're actually really good.
I did actually have a note in there for the Arrow Cave and the bugs. I'm like, do they have no procedure to do bug checks ever in there? I mean, you would think you might want to be careful of that, considering, especially after Laurel broke in there, wouldn't there be a thought of we should make sure she didn't leave something behind? Not necessarily a bug, but I don't know, a bomb?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what's frustrating, is that they've been at this for 5 years. There should just be certain things that they know. I mean, during their first year, you know, your first weeks on the job, you're going to make mistakes. But if you've been on the same job for 5 years, you should basically know what you're doing. And searching for bugs and bombs and other things, it should be like what they do on Monday.
That's the best way to put it. It should be a regular occurrence. There should be a little Google Calendar memo that pops up and goes, hey, don't forget you got to sweep for bugs today.
Or every year you change the base so that if people have found you, you move.
Yeah, there you go.
Or they've got a really good relationship with Argus. Maybe you ask if you can like sublease a couple of offices somewhere in the Argus base.
Well, I mean, they basically were today.
Exactly.
But I'm nitpicking. The fight was still fun. There's moments I really enjoyed. During this whole dock scene, though, all I could see was Felicity and Diggle flying around T-spheres making their Halo jokes. And I went, Curtis is not going to like the fact that they basically just stole his T-spheres to go and do stuff. And how is that going to help them mend fences, which kind of became moot near the end of this episode? But when it was going on, I was like, this is not a good way to try and make everyone be friends again.
Okay, I am not an attorney. Maybe one of you know this. But technically, Curtis was employed first off by Felicity and Palmer Tech, I think, right? And then he agreed to work with Team Arrow. So he developed that technology while as a member of Team Arrow. And isn't there something about, proprietary rights or something like that? Like when you develop something when you're in the employ of someone else and it actually belongs to them and not you?
So there very well could be, but let's set the legalities aside. There's still that gut reaction of, you did what with my stuff?
Yeah, and Michelle, I'll confirm that. And, working in the tech sector, every employee's contract not only states everything you make here, but while you're employed, unless you have a specific waiver, everything you create at home, because odds are you're inspired or you thought of something or it was related to what you're doing during the day. So can't even claim I made up my own time when I was superheroing. It belongs to either Palmer Tech or to whoever he was working for at the time.
Assuming it's ever on the books at Palmer Tech, though, too.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well, we love the fight, and we like the fact that Oliver and OTA is together. And when we talk about Oliver, first off, if you didn't know, Oliver and Felicity are married. You don't really get that vibe from this episode because it's not like he ever says, hi, honey, or they kiss or anything like that. It's just business as usual.
Well, you don't really get a vibe about anything outside their superhero lives for all the folks on OTA. They're always in the bunker. They're never really talking about life outside of it. That was one of the parallels I liked that was a little different between old Team Arrow and new Team Arrow is the new guys are like, at Renee's house with his daughter there. They're doing things out in the world, and they've kind of got a little bit of a life outside of superheroing that we get to see. And I kind of miss seeing both facets of these characters, of the superhero side and the civilian side they have.
Yeah, because Felicity is technically married to the job now.
Yeah.
Oliver made this huge thing about, I can't be the Green Arrow anymore for my son, and I can't lie to my son. And now he's married, and he's like, yeah, whatever, I'm just Green Arrow again. So, you know, I'm just going to leave him with Raisa all the time, and it's all cool, because he likes her.
Your kid's reasonably intelligent, it's been portrayed throughout the show. So, Dad, who used to be the Green Arrow, and I know this, stopped and was always home, had time for me. All of a sudden, Dad's not home very much, and the Green Arrow is really active again. What's going on? Shouldn't there be something going, my dad's full of crap, I need to call him on this, or, hey, Dad, is there really something going on at City Hall that you need to take care of? Why haven't I seen you at home much in the evenings? I'm nitpicking, I know.
Yeah, and, you know, also, let's not forget the human toll that he's out there beating people up. Not only is he going to, whenever he's home to grab a shower, have the bruises and the aches and pains associated with vigilanteing, but people are going to notice that, and William's going to notice that. So I think it's just convenient they've saved that little rift in Ollie's personal life for a subsequent episode. This episode was all about the new recruits calling him on his stuff, and dollars to donuts, William's going to call him on it in a subsequent episode.
That's what I'm thinking. And I think they have to do that. Otherwise, they're pretty much just ignoring the fact that he was like, I have to stop being the Green Arrow for my son.
So I have dubbed the recruits the whiny trio of traitors because, okay, fine. They were upset. It's been 5 weeks. Dinah says I haven't been the Black Canary for 5 weeks. So that's how long they've been divided, 5 weeks. Oliver calls everybody together and he has the trust and forgiveness speech. And he says, hey, Renee, you went behind our backs and you told on us. And I just got my son and I just had these visions of my son being taken away. And I reacted on that, just like you reacted with your daughter being taken away. Hey, Diggle lied. Hey, Dinah, you lied about Vince. And it's like, we all did. This is circle of blame. Like, he just admits, like, hey, I'm sorry. There's a circle of blame. Now that everything's out in the open, let's just deal with it as adults and move forward. And I'm like, hey, that's a pretty good thing. Because even earlier, Diggle brought up, hey, we've been through a lot. Remember you and the league? And that brought up, you know, Oliver did that whole lie to everybody scam sort of deal. And I'm thinking after the speech, it's like, okay, made progress. But Neil, there wasn't progress, was there?
There was zero progress. This goes all the way back to season one and season two, I think, when Ollie's lies to Roy Harper, to his sister, to everybody around him just kept digging him into this deeper and deeper hole. And at various points in time, he's figured it out. He's kind of snapped out of it. And, oh, listen, me keeping things from the people around me, me lying to them, keeping these secrets. I mean, Felicity said something earlier this season. If there's one thing that Queen is good at, it's beating himself up and taking the blame. He said he's the master of it. But I think everybody really in that circle is the master of lying to the people around them and escalating these things. It's a trope in many superhero shows that people actually sitting around and talking would solve most of the conflict in the first 10 minutes of any season or any movie. And this is no exception. So if we accept that trope, it's what's leading to all the conflict here.
Well, and I think part of the problem that's not really being addressed here is, yes, there's the mistrust on all sides, but why it was just the three newbies that are getting spied on is because whether anyone admitted or not, there was two tiers to Team Arrow. And the new guys thought, we're all on the same side, we're all in this together. And for lack of a better definition, it seemed like Oliver, Felicity, and Diggle kind of felt like they were second tier. They're there at our whims, and it didn't feel quite like a team to them. So I sort of see where they might be coming from, that they want to go and do it on their own because they don't feel like secondary characters or secondary heroes on their own team. So I sort of see where they're coming from, and I think it would take more than a discussion to solve all of the issues on both sides of not trusting each other. Oliver might be a bit more used to it because he's lied to everyone over the course of six seasons, had to apologize a lot, whereas these guys haven't had to live with that near as much. So while they come off as whiny at times, I sort of understand where they're coming from at the same time, though, too.
So here's the big question, and I'll throw this one back to you guys. Do we care that whiny new Team Arrow has gone to form their new trio? Do we mind?
I think it's interesting, honestly. I think it puts a spark of something different we haven't seen in Arrow. I mean, we saw in the past where Laurel was kind of out on her own before she got folded into the team. Well, here's a bunch of guys that used to work together, and you've got two good guy teams. They're obviously going to come into conflict in some way, shape, or form, be it running into each other in the street, something like that. I don't expect like a Civil War-style beatdown in the middle of the streets, but it's something new for Arrow. I'm kind of okay with it to see where it goes. Plus, it also opens up the door for Roy Harper to come back and be back on Team Arrow again. So that's why I'm really okay with it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that Curtis picked their lair, which is the old Helix lair. He just overtook somebody else's lair. Yeah, I mean, I wish Roy was going to be a full-time comeback, but he's not. Unfortunately, Colton Hayes, I think, is doing a whole bunch of other things. I know he's supposed to come back for at least one episode or at least two.
Long enough to take Thea away is how I look at it.
Yeah, I know, because Thea has this great scene with Quentin. And even she's just like, because she's the chief of staff again, yay. But even she's just like, I'm not ready to be Speedy again.
Yeah. I like that it's gone back to original Team Arrow. I think there's chemistry between Diggle and Felicity and Ollie. And, you know, maybe that's part of the issues with the prior seasons, that the main cast got a bit too big and they couldn't focus enough on the main characters who we've watched develop over 5 years. So personally, I'm okay with it. You know, in comics, not every superhero is part of the Justice League. Not every superhero in one town works together. I mean, look at Metropolis and look at Gotham. There are different groups out there doing their own things, and they don't necessarily all have to be working together all the time. If everybody hung out in the Batcave, A, I think Alfred would run out of cucumber sandwiches pretty quickly, and B, Batman would be even grumpier.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and what's interesting is that this is something that we said last year about the cave getting too crowded, because there was also two other individuals involved, Artemis and Ragman, who no one talks about anymore, besides apparently me. It's like, who? What? It's like the writers were like, you guys need to forget about them. Yeah, don't talk about them.
Did we determine if Artemis is alive or dead yet?
That was my question. Wasn't she a casualty on Lian Yu?
Assumed to be, I thought. I don't think we've heard one way or another. And since comic book logic applies, if we never see the body, they're probably still alive. But I don't know if she still exists. My guess is in some way, shape, or form, she'll be back.
Maybe, just like we're assuming that Talia and Nyssa are still alive.
We need Nyssa back.
Yeah, they better be, Michelle. Don't even go down that line of questioning. Like, don't do that to me.
I know. I would like to talk about our low rent in Justice League. During the first fight, when Oliver learns that indeed this team has formed, Black Siren is like, hey, let's kill him now. And then Caden James was like, nah. And then even Ricardo Diaz was like, man, you know, for a smart guy, that was kind of dumb. And I'm like, I agree. Why on earth did Caden James let him go? Neil?
I don't know. I found myself agreeing with Laurel. And I was just like, yes, this is the point where you kill the superhero. But, you know, again, we got comic book tropes here. You don't kill the main character.
I know why, and I'm surprised Neil didn't say it. Because plot!
Oh, I missed you guys.
Oh, gosh, we missed you too. Here's the thing. First off, he's claiming that he's avenging his son, which was, like, last year it was, I gotta avenge my father. And this year it's, I gotta avenge my son. And then I want you to suffer and watch things burn. And I'm going, that was what Deathstroke did. And it's like, what are we just taking season two and season five and coming up with this? I want there to be something new and fresh. Is that even possible?
I hope so. I don't know, in all honesty, if it is or not, though.
I mean, there's a couple of big motivations that you see recurring. And you're right, Michelle. As soon as you said that, I'm like, oh, yeah. Want to watch it burn? That's Deathstroke. And want revenge? Well, that's Prometheus. But I guess we had Brick a while ago. And it's just like, I want to be in charge. And it's the traditional bad guy power play. And Ra's al Ghul wanted to burn everything, but for kind of different reasons. That's at least a nice little twist on the I want to watch everything burn. But I'm okay with bad guys who just want power for power's sake, or even a twist on the rogues that, yeah, we just want, you know, all the money. That's a good villain motivation as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think so too.
So basically we're like, Caden James is just a little too complicated. Even though he says he likes precision, it seems as though it's very elaborate.
It's only precise in his mind. Maybe he's precise in regards to his elaborate plan. I don't know if that works.
I know it's still early in the season, But how are we thinking of him as a bad guy? We're still talking about Deathstroke. That's season two, and this is season six. We're still talking about Deathstroke. And we liked last season, you know, Prometheus was very exacting and horrible. Are we feeling that same intensity, or are we just like, we're still like a wait and see?
I think it's still a wait and see kind of thing. We haven't really gotten a ton on Caden James other than the fact that he's been manipulating them a lot. The fallout of his actions hasn't been super detrimental to Team Arrow yet. That's not to say it won't. I think we just have to wait and see how it develops and then figure out where he fits in the pantheon of season-long villains.
Agreed.
That's just my take, though. I mean, I've been a little underwhelmed so far, for lack of a better term.
Neil, do you agree?
Yeah. I thought he was a nice change, just because we've had a lot of archers or melee combatants before. You know, Deathstroke was a melee combatant. Prometheus was an archer, and you get a lot of those, especially in the whole Arrow or Green Arrow pantheon. But I think one of these intelligent cabals is more interesting. I think even Richard Dragon, when you have him as a antagonist in the comic books, I mean, again, he's a top-tier martial artist. So it's nice to actually change it up to somebody more strategic, more intellectual. Have they pulled it off, I think, is the bigger question. Listen, we still have roughly half a season. They can still amp it up. You know, in theory, the back half of the season is where things have gotten more intense. And quite often we've seen the true big bad emerge. Could we see something where somebody on the low rent in Justice League takes him out and said, okay, I'm in charge. This has been way too complicated. Like, I would actually love to see Laurel just come up behind him and go, listen, no, he's made one or two really bad calls. He's left Ollie alive. He's got this big complicated thing. Let's just rule the city with an iron grasp. Let's not burn it down. There's too much wealth, too much goodness, too much chaos to be caused.
It would be perfect if Black Siren did that. That is perfect. I wish I had thought of that. I was thinking Ricardo Diaz was going to do something at some point in time because of how much he'd been hyped coming into this season of coming in. But from a storytelling standpoint, I think you're spot on. If you're listening, Writer's Room, feel free to steal this from us.
And then you have the whole question of, you know, that puts Lance's relationship back in the spotlight. I think he becomes even more conflicted at that point.
Yeah, but I didn't touch on it earlier. This whole conflict really rubs me the wrong way because they keep like, oh, it's Laurel, it's Laurel. It's not your Laurel. It's Laurel from another Earth who's a hardened criminal. Yes, she looks like your friend slash daughter, but it's not her. She's a completely different person. So I understand why they might struggle with that, but eventually you kind of, I would think they need to have a realization of she's not the same person. And then I think her turning bad and despite saving Lance earlier, then taking over the low rent in Justice League might be what it takes to push them over the edge and realizing, oh, she's a bad girl. We don't want her. She's not redeemable. She's evil.
And I was thinking about that. Michelle, did you see that in this episode where she was killing everybody in the hallways? She was killing people as she walked there. And then later the same episode, we've got the Lance scene where he's like, oh, we can bring her back. And I'm just like, she has literally killed like a dozen people this episode alone. It's really hard to, oh, I forgive you.
Yeah, I understand. Quentin has been through a lot, right? He had a daughter. Sarah was dead. Sarah wasn't dead. Then Sarah was dead. Then Sarah wasn't dead and decided to go time traveling. And then Laurel alive, Laurel dead. Now we have a doppelganger. The poor guy, I can understand, but somebody does need to have a heart-to-heart with him and go, she's evil. And also, writers, I don't want her to be redeemed. I want her to just stay evil to be evil. I like that.
I think it's okay if you keep her evil by having a soft spot for her father. Because that would make sense, but not enough that it's like, I'm going to turn good because I love you, Daddy. No, that's not what this character needs to be.
Oh, she just needs a pony.
The episode ends at a good moment where finally the magic chip works and Diggle is back.
Yeah, so that means he's going to wear the Green Arrow uniform again, right?
No, man, he's got to be Spartan.
Yeah.
With the helmet that lights up his eyes.
Oh, but remember, his dream's been to be the Green Arrow. I agree. He's going to be Spartan. We've already seen the pictures from the set. But I think there needs to be a conversation, and I hope it's in an episode between him and Oliver. It's like, look, I'm good to go again. I understand you want to see this through as the Green Arrow, but I fully anticipate being the Green Arrow again when this is all said and done. There needs to be some kind of acknowledgement of that. Be it Oliver coming back to him and saying, this is a one and done thing for me. I want to finish this, and then I'm going back to what I was before. I want you to continue being the Green Arrow. There has to be something.
Yes.
Actually, you know what? I think we need a separate color of Arrow. Let's make him like the Blue Arrow.
The Blue Arrow.
We've got Speedy and Roy. We'll have a Red Arrow. It's kind of like our own Lantern Corps. We'll just, you know, everybody gets a bow. Everybody gets a different color. Let's just make this happen.
I like it. I'm down. Let's do it.
Writers, royalty checks right here.
Just don't do yellow, because yellow doesn't blend well in the night. We can do a dark blue. That makes sense. But not yellow.
And wouldn't that just screw up, you know, Channel 52 News? Wait, we're on scene and yes, I think it's a Blue Arrow this time. Oh, it's the Mauve Arrow? Hang on, the Indigo Arrow. That makes no sense whatsoever.
The Teal Arrow.
Oh, the Aquamarine Arrow.
Does that one talk to fish?
Oh, my goodness. All right. So, Chris, any last thoughts about this episode before we wrap it up?
Let's see. What else did I have in my notes that I'm missing? My OTA I had in my notes. That's Oliver, Shadow, and Slade. Sorry, guys. That's my OTA. I'm going old school. That's one thing I had circled.
Even before he was Arrow.
Exactly. And last thing I had circled, we touched on it in the show, though, was they've split the teams. I honestly think the main reason this split's happening is so they can bring back Roy to help bulk up the numbers of OTA, because something's going to happen. Roy's going to see it on TV and realize that Oliver needs help because he's by himself or just a few of them, and going to come back temporarily before he takes Theo away. So a lot of this, I think, is set up for the return of Roy Harper.
I want Nyssa to come back and like basically say, my beloved, it looks like you could leave some help, followed by an awkward conversation with Felicity and the two of them going out and like knocking back several bottles of Chardonnay, then coming back and kicking everybody's ass.
I can dig it.
Yes, because Oliver has two wives if you look at it one way.
That is true. He does have sister wives now.
Unless, I don't know how a divorce in the league works. Like, do they just look at each other and go, no, and that's it? Or I don't know. Neil, any last thoughts? Or
no, I actually enjoyed this. I love the split of the two team arrows at the end, and I can't wait for some focus on OTA.
Well, next week, the episode is called We Fall. Oh, look. Oh, I see what they're doing. Divided. We Fall.
I didn't get it to now either. Oh, damn.
Okay. That's going to be season 6, episode 11. It will air Thursday, January 25th, 2018. William gets caught in the crosshairs as Oliver attempts to stop Caden James with just the original team arrow. You said something, Chris, so looks like you called it.
Well, I mean, better sooner than later, right? I mean, the longer they stretch it out, the more we're sitting there going, come on, William, you're a smart kid. Put the pieces together. So I'm glad it seems to be happening next week.
Yeah. And let's just make one thing clear. It was Helix that broke out Caden James in the first place. So before we even get into it, yes, Caden James knows about the Helix base. So he'll also be breaking into that one.
It's tradition. We have to uphold said tradition.
Yes. The episode's directed by Wendy Stansler and written by Speedweed and Spiro Stentzos. Now some news?
Now some news. Live from the Starling Tribune newsroom, we're going to run down some news that spans the Arrowverse, but first, let's start with some Arrow-specific news. And Michelle, why don't you tell us about how the CW bosses are feeling about the renewal odds for all of their shows?
Yes, CW Network President Mark Pedowitz said he's optimistic that Arrow, The Flash, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow will return next season. He told Entertainment Weekly that at the moment, it's a little too soon. We're noted for announcing at Winter TCA that we're picking up shows, that they weren't ready yet. And he says, I'm pretty confident, which even though Arrow is low rated, probably going to get renewed. A nice 7 seasons. It's a typical CW thing to have 7 to 8 seasons. Supernatural is a whole different beast, so let's not go down that road.
Same as Smallville.
Yeah. But here's the thing. One of the things that they didn't talk about was if it's going to be full seasons. And I read a different article about the CW and how they are looking at shorter seasons and doing different things because they have a lot of stuff that they're developing. And they have like certain things that are going to Netflix and for something like Dynasty. Over here, Dynasty, the reboot, hasn't been doing great, but it's sold overseas and it has a Netflix deal. Well, I'm just sort of wondering, with Legends already having a shorter season, Black Lightning is, I think, 13 episodes, that they do that with iZombie and things like that. Do we think that they could do this with like Arrow, do a shorter season?
I think they're going to end up doing that. I think what we've seen this season with how they're going to be handling Legends and Supergirl flip-flopping time slots in between arcs is I think what we could see happening a lot next season. I think you could see a 13-episode order of Arrow, 13-episode order of Legends, and say 13-episode order of Black Lightning. And you could put all of them on at one time slot and just rotate through them and then burn them without taking a bunch of time off. I think that would be very likely. And honestly, that helps save them some appearances for people, depending on how these contracts are lining up. A lot of folks are probably near the end of contracts if they've been on since the very beginning. So you might have to do what the MCU does and find ways to save appearances.
And I think the other thing that we still don't know what kind of impact it's had is, you know, how many people are using the CW app as their primary viewing mechanism. Those people have likely dropped off the Live or the Live Plus 3, if you can watch it on the app. So it's hard to know what actual viewership is, and maybe they're happy with the CW app numbers. You just don't know.
And that's what makes me think that they might do this, because they realize they had a ton of viewers find Riverdale on Netflix, which is one of the reasons why they moved Riverdale to Wednesdays at 8 p.m., is to cash in on the fact that they were discovered. And yeah, with the app and everything, they don't really need 22 episodes anymore. They can just do 13 and have them on the app or whatever.
Look, they do 13 quite easily for shows like Doctor Who and other shows that are not filmed in North America. Outside of the American television world, it's not uncommon for shows to have 10 episode seasons, 13 episode seasons, things like that. And it gets a lot of filler episodes out. So arguably, it's a good thing. Not necessarily as much for the advertisers, but for us, the consumers. It's potentially a good thing if they shorten the episode order. But that's just some thoughts on that. Now let's move on to another topic here. Neil, am I reading this right? Is there a chance we could be talking about a Huntress return to Arrow?
Well, I think that's a question that a lot of us had as soon as they saw this episode, especially when Jerry, aka the last of the Bertinellis, mentioned Michelle's quote at the beginning that she's gone underground or, you know, has had a prior relationship with Ollie. So people put the question to Mark Guggenheim, and he said, in quote, I want to say absolutely there's a chance that she may be coming back. Jessica DeGaulle has expressed an absolute willingness to come back. Jessica is a favorite actor of mine, and the Huntress is a favorite character of mine. I want to make it happen in season 6. We've got some plans for the latter half of the year that I think she will fit into really well. So let's see. And I couldn't be happier. She's also a favorite character of mine, both in the comics and the show. And Jessica DeGaulle is a great actress. So I'd love to have her back.
And OTA needs some help from time to time. When Roy leaves town with himself and Thea, like we're all predicting, they're going to be down people again. Seems like a perfect time for them to take a chance on a reformed criminal. Or potentially reformed.
Well, and imagine Nyssa, Felicity, and Huntress all talking some smack. And imagine the look on Ollie's face when he sees the three of them going out to grab a bite or a bottle of Chardonnay. No good will come of that.
And then they bring along Sarah Lance.
Or Cupid.
Oh, man. Writers, are you guys getting this? You can take any of this and use it. We're fine with it.
Oh, my goodness. I want her back, too.
I think we all do. But that's going to wrap up our news on the Arrow specific stuff, let's go and talk about the general DC / Flarrow universe. And Michelle, what's this I see that Legends Tomorrow has added a new series regular?
People have suspected it and everything like that, but Kean Lonsdale is coming to Legends of Tomorrow. I live tweet the shows, and when you watch The Flash, one of the number one complaints is, where is Wally? Why y'all forget about Wally? You have another speedster. And it's a big point of frustration. And earlier this season, you know, Firestorm's gone, and there's a vacancy, and having Wally a legend is fantastic. Now, this is what I'm worried about. One of the reasons why we never saw Firestorm all the time was, one, Firestorm was, well, OP, and two, expensive. And we have discussed how expensive Legends can be. And I really hope that they do Wally justice, but let's face it, he's a speedster. He's an awesome speedster. And quote unquote, his effects can be considered expensive.
But they've also found a way to make it slightly cheaper with the way they've had to do some of the effects in The Flash. So maybe they can reuse some lessons learned there so that they don't have to find inconvenient ways for, oh, Wally's off the ship this week. He felt sad, so he needed to go be by himself because his girlfriend broke up with him. Or Wally needed to go back and see Barry because he had a question about how to do this in the Speed Force. Hopefully they've got enough lessons learned. We don't go down that path again.
Yeah. No, I'm excited. And again, I think it's a key piece of diversity as well for the show, for the crew, for the network. And I'm excited. He's a great actor. And yeah, I think he'll fit in well. But what I'm also, you know, and the article calls this out, that Mick Rory and really Dominic Purcell, they're part of the Rogues. So, and he knows that. So now he'll be having to work hand in hand with one and, let's call it a half because he's from Earth X. But Rogues, he's going to have to deal with that somehow.
He's Kronos, after all. I mean,
he never had to fight him when he was a bad guy, really. That was all Barry that did that. I almost said Wally, which would have made no sense. Speaking of the Flash universe, they've introduced the Elongated Man this season. Neil, now we might have an idea of what his costume looks like, don't we?
Yes, and for those of you looking for the light purple and white costume, you get a dark burgundy purpley color and white. It's not quite canon, but then I think at this point we've come to expect that very few costumes will be true canon as far as the comic books go. Most people are assuming that it's going to be a Cisco creation just because it'll have to stretch with him. And I think it's about time. I think the white onesie with the cloth cap that he's worn a couple of times wasn't really cutting it. So, I want to see the effects. I want to see Ralph in a costume.
Give him a good one. Maybe he'll go to Legends too. So let's wrap things up then. We had a really interesting interview that Echo Callum did talking about the importance of black superheroes on TV and things like that. Neil, why don't you give us a little bit of background on this interview he did?
Yeah, and we talked about it at the beginning of the show, but with the CW debuting Black Lightning this week, there's been a lot of talk of the importance of black superheroes and what it means to the network, but also to the viewers. And talking to Echo Kellum, and he said, I think for myself and for Curtis, is something they're very proud of, being black superheroes. And on top of that, I think Echo Kellum goes on to state that he's very proud of representing the LGBT and the LGBTQIA communities and giving them a voice and having a chance to represent that community on the show. And it's worth a read if anyone's interested. Head on over to comicbook.com and you can check out that interview.
Well, thanks for bringing that up, Neil. And as we wrap things up, this is that part of the show where we like to remind folks that the Starling Tribune is in fact part of a network of shows that you can find over at GunnaGeek.com. There's probably 23, 25 plus shows on the network that cover a variety of geeky and nerdy topics. You know us, we're the Starling Tribune. We talk about shows like Arrow. We have a sister show, The Crimson Comet, that's all about The Flash. There is a variety of shows on the network. And each week we try to give you a taste of something different and say, hey, maybe you guys should go check this out. So this week I want to talk to you guys about episode 48 of the Pop Culture Cosmos. According to them, we're counting down the Marvel movies with our thoughts on each one as we head into Black Panther. We bring you the latest news and trends in pop culture right here on the Pop Culture Cosmos show and the Pop Culture Cosmos Multiverse, which you can listen to today on the Gunna Geek Network. So head on over to GunnaGeek.com. Go and check out the Pop Culture Cosmos. They're doing some pretty cool stuff as we get closer and closer to Black Panther. So I think that is going to start wrapping us up on things. So a big thank you to our live listeners who were in the Geeks.live chat, and also to anyone who downloads or replays the videos at a later date. Don't forget, you can find the show over at GunnaGeek.com, StarTribune.com, YouTube.com/GunnaGeek. Just find it and consume it. You're going to love it.
And remember, you can always catch us live as we record here at Geeks.live at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Sundays. And you can also find all of our past shows on the Gunna Geek Network at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
We would love to hear from you. We are the Starly Tribune on Facebook and Instagram, at Starly Tribune on Twitter, and you can call us at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. And before we go, I really want to say it was a pleasure to see you again, Neil, to have you on the podcast. We've missed you. So we love the fact that you're back, for tonight, at least.
It was so great to be back. Michelle, thank you for reaching out. Chris, so great to podcast with you again.
Anytime, my friend.
So much fun. Good to share a couple laughs and to geek out with you. And if you're still down a host, if SP is out on assignment, more than happy to try to stop by next week as well.
That would be great. Well, before we go, let's have a few final words. At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag bring back Huntress.
At Neil, is it witty?
Hashtag because plot.
And I am at Michelle Ely, signing off with hashtag aquamarine arrow. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at Incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.